Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered. With great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
And of Zero Blog 30, today we have the big news in the military world. A sad, sad day. Toby Keith, who is a patriot, he loved America. You should have seen how much, we're going to talk about how many USO tours he did and just some of his life and how much he's dedicated to the troops over the last, I guess, two decades, really. We're going to talk about that. There's also another example of higher-ups, good for me, not for thee type of situation, involving a terrible sexual assault and an unbelievable decision by a dumbass judge. I don't know how they continue to make these decisions, but they do. But the big news today, Catherine's back. Katie back. How are you doing, Katie?
Real bad. Real bad.
Yeah, still. Real bad.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like I've been in a car crash is all I can say. Because I have been in one and, you know, for a few days afterwards, or like you run a marathon and then you feel like you've paralyzed yourself. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to physical therapy every other day, but I still cannot pick up my baby, which is, it's like a physical impossibility as much as I try. So it's just really frustrating.
Kate, do you think this is all due to pregnancy, all due to the military, all due to rugby, all due to car crash, or all due to everything?
The fact that I mostly consist off Reese's Puffs and Nutty Buddies. I mean, that could be it.
No, I think you've given yourself a hard time there. You know, I've done the research. Reese's Puffs have nothing to do with back pain.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know. But yeah, it's tough. I also have that thing. It's called like rectus diastasis or whatever, where pregnancy sometimes splits people's abs in half and they have a huge gap between their abs.
Didn't know that was a thing.
You can tell if you have it. You lay on your back and lift your head up like an inch. And if you can fit more than two fingers, you can feel it. The abs, they should be together. I can fit. Mine are like so far apart. They ripped, I guess. So they think that might have.
How is that going to be during swimsuit season?
Pretty terrible, probably.
You're going to look ripped.
Unless I can shove all my fat inside that gap and then.
Nah, but Kate, one pieces are all the rage these days.
True.
For women. So many women have gone back to one pieces. They're very popular.
After I got that tramp stamp, I've been a one piecer anyway. So can't let the family see it. It's too embarrassing. But anyway, nevertheless, I keep thinking of that episode of The Kardashians when Kim drops her earring in the sea and she's so upset and her mom's like, Kim, there's people that are dying.
Okay. No, yes. No, we're not going to.
We're not going to trivialize your back pain. Yeah.
You had to go to the hospital multiple times. You're not whining. Like, you're being legitimate. You're in legit pain. You're allowed to be like, I'm in pain, and not compare it to everybody else.
Well, side note, Chaps is the one who took me to the hospital. Like,
I heard he carried you out like a volunteer firefighter.
He was
like
here within 15 minutes at like almost midnight on Sunday night. And
yeah, I think Sunday.
And then
yeah.
Stayed in the hospital with me for hours and hours while someone vomited into a big cup next to us. There was like just.
It was worth it just for that. It was awesome.
It was.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
I kept saying to him, like, you can go. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And this lady's like. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, are you sure, Chaps? You can really go. And he.
My favorite thing about those ladies was they're arguing with each other. One, the one that was not throwing up was asleep. On, I don't know how they had that many jackets. There must have been 50 jackets underneath that woman. She was straight up underneath there. And the woman that was in pain or the woman that was sick, she kept yelling at the coat layer downer and was like, go ask when they're going to see me. Every 10 minutes she was going, she was like, can't I just sleep? No, I'm in pain.
Yep.
Go get somebody.
It was a tough scene, worst. But thanks for being there. That was.
Yeah, that's what friends do. I'm glad you're back on the show. It's going to be a lovely time having you, even though we're starting the show with some terrible, terrible news. What's going on, Katie?
Yes, well, Chaps initially wrote this round a different way. It's been kind of a goofier way. And I said, no, no, sir. We're going to do this in the straightforward Katie context way. Because this, to me, this news that Toby Keith, the country music singer, has passed away from stomach cancer. And to me, it sent me down this swirl of, I don't want to use the word like nostalgia for OEF.
No, I think nostalgia is the appropriate word.
But like, I feel like to many of us, he really like encompasses a certain je ne sais quoi of that time. And say what you will, politics, this and that, which we'll kind of tell. There's some interesting things I kind of forgot. That man, he put his money where his mouth was when it came to supporting the troops. So he really did. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to get into a little bit of his story here. And also, those were smoke pit bangers, dude. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Red Solo Cup. Imagine being hammered on a pontoon boat when that comes on.
Or in the we had a lot of people that were gone. You're absolutely right. Large March, the party barge would get it going with a little bit of Toby Keith, American Eagle, and a little bit of Bud Light Lime. But today when I came into the office, a lot of people are out doing the Super Bowl stuff. And when I came in today, we had a big old tribute that was going on. We put on the loudspeakers. We were listening to nothing but Toby Keith. I went from driving like 260. Cons, I piped one like 320 listening to all
of
the
American.
Can I
just say something aside from that? I'm tired of hearing about people and what they hit in the simulator because it's a simulator, dude. You can't hit it 320 in real life, but I'm happy for you hitting it 320 in the simulator.
I absolutely can and have done it a bunch of times.
You can't, though. You can't. I've seen you hit a golf ball. You can't.
You've never seen me hit a golf ball in person.
On video. On video.
Okay, so the TaylorMade guys that came in that was like, you're hitting over 300. You might want to go with an 8.5 and a super stiff shaft.
Yeah, they're saying based on what they're seeing in the simulator. Yes, those numbers are, you know, the simulator numbers.
You
I'm sound saying
a little
real
jealous.
Life.
Hater. Chap sounds like, how Hater. Do you like me now? Now that I'm
hitting
balls.
No, because I've hit it 315, 320 in the simulator.
Right
that doesn't mean it.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Hater.
I've done it in real life. All right, no, Kay, what's going on with Toby Keith?
You know what? I want to talk about me. Want to talk about my. Want to talk about number one on my. What I want, what I like, what I hear, what I want to see. He also had a great fucking voice. To say what you will. Anyway, country music star Toby Keith passed away this past Monday after a battle with stomach cancer. Sometimes a polarizing figure in the music industry, the 6'4" Keith. I did not realize he was that tall.
Him and Trace Atkins
broke out in the country boom years of the 90s, and that was peak. I mean, come on, peak country music, crafting an identity around his macho pro-American swagger and writing songs that fans love to hear. During the course of his career, he publicly clashed with other celebrities and journalists and often pushed back against record execs who wanted to smooth his rough edges. Wanted to smooth those edges. He said no. He was known for his overt patriotism on post-9/11 songs like Brought to You Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, a.k.a. Angry American was that song, and boisterous barroom tunes like...
Wait, that song's called Angry American?
In parentheses after that, it's called Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, and then in parentheses, Angry American. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. He said,
you know
he said it's not American enough.
No.
Let's tack a little more on the end. Okay? I Love This Bar, Red Solo Cup. He had a powerful, booming voice, a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor, and a range that carried love songs as well as drinking songs. And he really was, like, a lot of country music songs about that. He had, like, a really creative brain and really plucky, like, funky, different-sounding songs throughout the different genres.
I was not expecting Kate to be a legit Toby Keith.
You know what it is?
I get it.
I saw him twice when I was in Afghanistan. Once I
because he did 800 shows in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah,
right?
I had flown up to Kandahar for just a quick trip, and he happened to be there. And while I was there, and I only had a civilian that had flown up there with me, so I was on my own. So it was kind of to be able to go to a concert, and everybody's like they kind of like let the restrictions down a little bit and everybody can kind of let their hair down a little and to hear those like bar songs that you and your buddies were drinking and smoking to in the smoke pit back home really does make you feel good. And then a week later, I was back down at my other base and he came through and I was like, oh, I've already I'm good. And they're like, no, I got volunteered to go to the Toby Keith concert again. So I saw him like twice in a week, but still just a lot. But anyways,
when I was there, I didn't get to see him, but I heard about it when I came back. Listen to this squad. You had, I think it was Dan Marino. It was some like big time quarterback. I don't remember at this point, but I think it was Dan Marino, Toby Keith, and then the other person in the trio, Chuck Norris.
No.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And this was in 2007, like the height of all those Chuck Norris memes and shit like that. It was all over the place. I'd never been more jealous in my
Chuck
life.
Chuck Norris's than that. Tears cure AIDS. Let me say something, though. Too bad he never cries.
True.
You mentioned like Dan Marino and Chuck Norris. Don't get me wrong. Dan Marino, one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks. Chuck Norris, you know, the Chuck Norris memes. But do you get anything out of seeing those people aside from them just being there? Whereas like a comedian, a musician, they perform, a lot of people can get something out of that. Unless you meet and have a conversation and, you know, they're not going to meet and have a conversation of any substance with thousands and thousands of people. Are those people even worth having?
Remember when we were at West Point and for the Army-Navy game and Trump was there and I'm not, you know me.
And Mark Wahlberg at the other
one. Mark Wahlberg, I'm not like a huge fan of either, but I was still like, I'm dumb enough to be like, oh my God, oh, how exciting. You know, like there's
especially
cool.
A lot of the military members that come from smaller towns and things like that, that have maybe never seen a celebrity. So if you see never seen a celebrity and you come in, you're like, whoa, there's three of these guys here.
All right, that makes sense. I'm just trying to like understand. It's like Dan Marino didn't come and like throw footballs to people, or maybe
no, he did. Whoever the quarterback was, definitely did. It was some legend of like the 80s. I don't remember who. It might have been Troy Aikman. It might have been Dan Marino. It was somebody like that, and they were throwing the football outside the MWR. People were going nuts, man.
Chuck Norris killed 3 PFCs with a roundhouse kick. It was awesome.
True. It was brutal. It was
amazing.
But do you guys get what I'm saying here? Whereas like,
oh yeah,
when you think of USO tours, I think it is better when it's people who have a skill that they can share with a lot
of
people.
You know, you're talking about
the
Dallas
cool
cheerleaders.
Person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's better when you have a skill. Two big skills.
I'd much rather see Chuck Norris than them.
Two skills that jiggle a little bit when you jump.
Four.
Two skills with nipples
four.
On them.
Four. You got both butt cheeks too, Kate. Don't ever forget
that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't know this. He worked as a roughneck in the oil fields of Oklahoma as a young man. He was an Oklahoma man. And then he played semi-pro football. He was a defensive end for the Oklahoma City Drillers. I had no idea. At 6'4".
That's a great name for an Oklahoma City football team.
Yeah, absolute unit this guy was,
double
too.
Entendre there.
It's interesting. A lot of times where, like, I think minor league teams and semi-pro teams sometimes have better names for their teams.
Oh,
given
without a doubt.
Geography,
I would say 95% do.
And, you know, he wasn't afraid to put a cleat up your ass back then. He really wasn't.
True, he was.
And then he launched his career as a singer. And it took him a long time to start getting. It took him, like, 7 years in the business before he even started getting recognized, really. Keith often wore his politics on his sleeves, especially after the terrorist attacks on U.S. soil in 2001, and early on said he was a conservative Democrat, but later claimed he was an independent. He's played at events for George Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, the latter giving him a National Medal for the Arts in 2021. His songs and blunt opinions sometimes caused him controversy, which he seemed to court. And I don't know what people expect. He was a roughneck from Oklahoma boy, roughneck, like.
Right.
That's a section of America, and that represents how some people, like, I see people on Twitter today being like, glad he's fucking dead, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
it's
you're part
stupid.
Of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You're lame as hell. But his 2002 song, Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, included a threat. We'll put a boot up your ass. It's the American way to anyone who dared mess with America. And I tell you this, we kind of laugh at how corny now you listen to it, you're like, oh, it's kind of corny, whatever. I remember listening to that in the car after 9/11, getting goosebumps all over my body.
Oh, yeah.
I had a diary where I joined the military, and one of my goals was kill a terrorist. I'm like, unironically. Yeah. I swear to God. I swear to God. That's how fired up this motherfucker got.
And as soon as Kate fired a weapon the first time, the mission accomplishment from George W. Bush unfurls behind
I'm in my
him.
Mom's Dodge Neon Sport with the confetti seats. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill a terrorist. Yeah, I'm going to do
Toby
it.
Toby Keith is basically patriotic Creed. Yeah. Where yeah. everybody at the time really liked it. But then now, looking at hindsight bias, you're like, oh, I didn't like that. Yeah, you
yes,
did.
You
loved
did.
Patriotic Creed with your whole damn heart, and you sang it loud as shit.
When he got
right, everyone
line,
like, oh, I like it, but it's ironic. I ironically like Toby Keith. Like, no, there was no irony behind right. it. It was genuine.
Exactly.
Toby Keith rocked hard. Yep. And that line's amazing.
It's the same people who shit on Nickelback.
Says.
You're alone in your car, and right. some of those songs, mm-hmm. Photograph comes on.
Oh, yeah.
You're not turning it. Anyways, the song got pulled from a patriotic ABC 4th of July special after producers deemed it too angry for the show. Singer-songwriter Steve Earle called Keith's song pandering to people's worst instincts at a time they are hurt and scared. Then there was the feud between Keith and the Dixie Chicks, now just called the Chicks, who became a target of Keith's ire when Natalie Maines told a crowd they were ashamed of then-President George W. Bush. Maines
I remember
had previously
when that was
called
the
Keith's
scandal
song ignorant. And remember
scandals.
At the time, people were bringing their Dixie Chicks CDs to like baseball stadiums so steamrollers could run them over and shit. Like,
yeah.
People were, and now in hindsight, you watch shows and people are like, well, maybe, you know, they had a little bit of a point here and there, whatever. But like at the time, you know, hindsight's 2020, like Toby Keith was saying what the people were feeling. Like it wasn't just pandering to people's like anger and rage. Like that's what people felt like. And yes, maybe it stirred up like the worst instincts or whatever, but like, I feel like it was a reflection of the times, which whatever.
I don't know that it was people's worst instincts. I don't think that's a terrible instinct to get attacked and to want to retaliate and defend yourself.
Then he doctored a photo of Natalie Maines with hanging out with Saddam Hussein, and he showed it at all his concerts, which ramped up fans into like a frothy rage. So maybe here and
was
there.
That song before or after the Chicks had released Traveling Soldier? Because I remember that thing was a banger.
That song came out before, I believe. And then Natalie Maines responded by wearing FUTK, fuck you, Toby Keith, on stage at the 2003 ACM Music Awards, which many believed was a vulgar message to Keith. No kidding. You think? He also publicly called out the actor Ethan Hawke, who had written a story in Rolling Stone that described an argument between him and Kris Kristofferson. Everybody knew it was Toby Keith, but Ethan Hawke wrote this story about an unnamed country music star that sounded a lot. Everybody knew it was Keith.
Toby Keith that he named he was talking the star. About.
And this is a little bit of the interaction. They're behind the stage at an awards show. Happy birthday, the star, aka Toby Keith, said to Willie Nelson, breezing by us. As he passed Kris Kristofferson in one long confident stride, out of the corner of his mouth came, none of that lefty shit out there tonight, Chris, said Toby Keith. Kristofferson took a deep inhale, leaned against the wall, vibrating with adrenaline. I'm shortening this. They had a big back and forth then, Toby Keith and Kris Kristofferson. And Kris Kristofferson
was standing against the wall, took a long drag. Toby Keith.
He looked over at Willie Nelson, then his eyes found me. And this is Kris Kristofferson talking to Ethan Hawke. You know what Waylon Jennings says about guys like him? They're doing to country music what pantyhose did to finger fucking.
I'm going to say something.
That's fantastic.
I don't know what that means. Well, I don't know what that means.
What do you mean? How do you not know what that means?
Pantyhose the ruined
you
finger
can
fucking.
See the vaginas, but you can't go inside. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like an exclusive club.
But Toby Keith didn't really care. He acknowledged that he holds on to grudges. He walked out of the American Country Music Awards in 2003 early because he was snubbed in earlier categories because he had no idea that later in the show they were going to announce him as Entertainer of the Year. So he missed it. He like walked out pissed off and then he missed it. Vince Gill accepted on his behalf. He came back the next year and won top prize for the second year in a row, album title. Because this was the era of shock and awe. We went in and bombed those caves and all that shit. He titled his album Shockin' Y'all. Okay.
So good.
Come on.
So
Come
good.
Come on.
So okay. good.
His pro-military stance wasn't just fodder for songs. He went on, it says 11 USO tours, but this was from an article that was a little bit older. So it was probably more than that. He helped raise millions for charity, including building homes in Oklahoma City for kids and their families battling cancer. American Soldier, which was released in 2003, sat at the number one song on the Billboard Hot Country chart for 4 weeks. It topped the all top 30 genre for Billboard Hot 100, which was kind of rare for country to do at the time. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons he got involved with the USO and all that stuff, his dad was a Korean War veteran who lost his eye in battle.
His daddy served in the army.
He lost his right eye. He flew a flag up in the yard till the day he died. My mother, my brother, my sister and me could all grow up tall. Are you getting the goosebumps yet? In the land
and a
of
family
the free
tree.
And Uncle Sam. Rah, rah, Sam.
At the
I'm telling you.
Did you just do all that top of your top
Yes,
of your
dude.
Head?
That's how much that song got in my crawl. I thought I was going to kill a terrorist. I had daydreams of me playing that song, running through the desert with a machete, fixing terrorism. Okay.
That would have been awesome.
Running through that desert with a machete and hacking up all those leaves and jungle that is often found in the desert.
Given I was still doing drugs at college thus the daydream. I hadn't actually joined the military yet. Fuck no.
I mean, that would have been better.
It was a cool daydream. But I wasn't.
Wait, so the Kate's gonna kill a terrorist? That was before you were in the Marines?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's why she joined.
I thought you were already in the Marines at that point, and you were just like getting jacked by the song. Wow.
Oh no,
okay, that makes it.
They
even
used
better.
To play that at the recruiter's office. Had to.
I mean, so many. I was looking on Reddit. There was a Reddit thread, of course, about Toby Keith's passing, and there was a bunch of veterans in there who were like, "Oh man." Did anyone else have that? They played at the graduation. They made us do like a marching routine to that song, like the year after, whatever. And like, but anyway, his dad came back and installed in his kids, like, you got to respect veterans. They're very important, yada, yada. And he kept asking me to go on a USO tour. And I said, Dad, I'm doing 150 shows a year. I don't have time to go all the way over there right now. And his dad told him, find the time. So, and that's a lot to tour 150 shows stateside. He ended up doing, I think, by 2014, he had done over 300 shows overseas at different countries in 17 different countries. So I'm sure the number is way beyond that now. He said the year I agreed to finally do it, he's talking about his dad. His dad got killed in a car wreck. I went for him. So he also had these songs. He finally came out with the Bus album. He had these songs that he would only sing for troops overseas that weren't on any of his albums. They weren't known. And he would tailor them to where he was going. So if he was going to Balad, was that in Iraq?
Yes, that's where I was.
He wrote the Ballad of Balad, which was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, lighthearted, the Taliban song. He wrote a song called, he said, you know, I'd go to see the Marines on certain bases, only had Marines on them. So I wrote a song for them called Call a Marine.
Ethan Hawke was upset about some of the other stuff, but not the Taliban song. The Taliban song, top 10 most racist song of the last 20 years has to be a little bit racist.
So anyway, I just thought some of that stuff I didn't know, and I thought it was interesting, and it really did send me back down a rabbit hole because I saw him there, and I wasn't even like a huge country fan at the time. But anybody who did USO tours back then had my respects because it really did make you feel kind of good. You know, it really was to take the time to do all that and say what you will. He holds a special place in American history, Americana, for that 9/11 esprit de corps. No.
Now that Toby Keith has passed away, sadly, let's talk about who should take that front runner role as the USO's main draw. Do you guys have any thoughts of who would be great coming out cons?
Yeah, right now. I mean, I think he's all the rage right now. And I think he kind of flies in that same lane. And I think it's Shane Gillis, a comedian going over. He's not a musician.
Like Robin Williams.
Yeah. I think Shane Gillis would be great.
I could see
he has a great, Catherine. That great bit right now from his most recent special about how his girlfriend before she was dating him, she was dating a Navy SEAL and how horrible it is to be the guy who dates a girl after she's with a Navy SEAL when you're like, anyway, but yes. But yeah, I don't know. I just sent me down. How do you,
who
like
would you
want to
see USO star, Kate?
How do you like me now that I'm on my way? I mean, isn't that the dream when you break up with, when you're broken up with, to like just do better than them as they start to fail at life. And then they see
you. I think so.
You're going to just keep ignoring Chaps' question?
Sorry,
though?
Go ahead.
Who would you like to see take over the USO?
I could have been a cowboy.
Who's the new Toby Keith?
Could have been a rodeo. Riding my six shooter on the. What'd you say?
Who would you like to take over the USO tour?
Red Solo Cup. I fill you up.
Who would you like to see take over the USO tour?
Whiskey for my man, beer for my horses. I'm really having a hard time.
But who would you like to see take over the USO tour?
Who would I like to see take over the USO tour? Taylor Swift.
That's what I was going to say. If Taylor Swift did it right now, I don't even know what the response would be. It would be insane. It would put everybody who is so pissed off that she's on the TV for like 30 seconds during an NFL playoff game, put them in a blender. If she was like, I'm going to launch a tour, I'm going to do the full out Eras tour right on the border of Syria and Iraq. People would lose their damn mind.
They really would.
I wrote a blog last week and I likened it to the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where the whole crux of that movie is that their music unites the world and brings about world peace. If anybody could do it right now, you throw her on a USO tour, sprinkle in some countries right now. Maybe she does, you know, border of Iraq and Iran, Syria. You start doing some concerts there, Taylor Swift. Who says no?
Also, Bruno Mars. People love Bruno Mars songs.
They do.
Yeah. Clem made two babies to Bruno. So,
really?
He says it all the time. If his wife throws on Bruno Mars, it's time to fuck.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Catch a grenade for you.
True. That's exactly right.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
One of the only rules I had for the band at my wedding, no Bruno Mars.
Well, that's disappointing.
No Beyonce, no Bruno Mars.
Oh, wow. I think they're hater. Both. No Beyonce. Nah,
I think they're overplayed. I think they're overplayed and they're not fun.
I'm surprised Alex didn't walk out to Diva by Beyonce. A diva is a female version of a hustler. That's one of the songs that if you get a new stereo, you should check out if it sounds good, because it's got so much bass line and the treble's beautiful as well. Mm-hmm. Great song. All right, let's move on to round number two.
Not great. I'll start you with that. This round, not great. And this is the epitome of any other rank would have been effed and not this guy. So an Army Lieutenant Colonel who trained future officers will receive a reprimand but serve no jail time for spying on a changing room with a hidden camera at a store that caters to teenagers and young adults. That paragraph alone, enough to make you angry inside. Army Lieutenant Colonel Jacob J. Sweatland served as chair of the Reserves Officer Training Corps program at California Polytech in San Luis Obispo, California, when he was arrested for hiding a camera in a PacSun clothing store, which was discovered by a teenage girl. Military legal experts say the case is the latest example of the military justice system letting senior officers off with a slap on the wrist for serious sex-related offenses. Though the store was off base, the local prosecutor stepped aside from the case in order to let the Army prosecute Sweatland.
Stupid. That prosecutor should be relieved. Yep. There's no, I mean, because if you're doing it in a PacSun, one, you have absolutely no control who's going into that restroom. It has got to carry with it child pornography charges as well.
But
has to. Like if these are teenage girls,
changing room of a PacSun, yeah.
Right. Like there's 14, 15 year olds, that should be trafficking child porn. Like you should get sentenced for child porn.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, not
that,
to mention, this isn't military or government property. This is private property. That PacSun is owned by somebody and the building is owned by somebody. So it's private property, or at the very least, property of the town that it's in, if you want to make that argument. Either way, the military has no jurisdiction. So how it gets thrown back to the military is kind of a head scratch.
Banana lands, to say the very least. This is from Task and Purpose, by the way. Sweatland pled guilty to one specification of indecent visual recording and one specification of conduct unbecoming to an officer. I want to know, too, does this give them the right? Because I bet you this ain't the only time he's done it. I bet you money if they were to go through his computers and go through his home, I bet you they'd find this isn't like a one-off thing that people do.
Which they would be able to, because if they charged him, they would be able to get a warrant for the computer.
Yeah, it's
like if that's mm-hmm. the case, Kate, they could have, if they brought forth the child pornography charges, any judge would give them, because then it's inside the scope of the investigation, would say you have to turn over all your hard drives, all your cell phones, all that. And they would find it. Like, the forensic cyber people would find it in a second.
Well, it sounds like none of that's happening. After considering all the evidence presented, the military judge sentenced Lieutenant Colonel Sweatland to be reprimanded. That's it. Wow.
Like, what is that? Like, a verbal reprimand? Is that what we're talking about? Like, because there's no... It doesn't mention any reduction in pay. It doesn't mention any type of retirement benefits restrictions. It's probably going to let him retire. I don't how, man. Yeah. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Listen, so it was September 2022. A teen girl is in the dressing room at Pac Sun, and she finds a small device with a camera inside, and at Pismo Beach. Sweatland was arrested 2 days later when he went. So they set up a sting. 2 days later, Sweatland goes back to the store to retrieve the device. And that's where they catch him. He initially ran from police before being apprehended. So not only did this pervert go back to get his camera to get basically child porn,
he ran from
the fucking cops. And this is all that's happening to him. Upon notification of his arrest, the U.S. Army Cadet Command removed him from his professor of military science position at Cal Poly Tech. Oh, but wait, he's currently assigned to the 8th Brigade of the U.S. Army Cadet Command and is serving an admin role. Get the fuck out of here. Like, how
fucking ridiculous.
The people who work with him have failed by not beating the shit out of him in the parking lot at night. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Also, the fact that it was referred to a special, the next line is going to be that he got put on a summary special, a special court martial instead of a general court martial, which is crazy because the amount of punishment that you could do in a special court martial is so far less than what you do in a general court martial. For those that are listening that aren't military related, you have essentially three courts that are in the military justice system. Well, I guess four. So you have the commander's level, battalion commander and below, that is able to produce administrative punishments like reduction in grade for those that are E5 and below. You can do what would classify as not just misdemeanors, but like citation level crimes. If you go to a special court martial, then you have what would be misdemeanor crimes that aren't going to rise to the level of a felony. And then a general court martial, that's what's referred to as, you're supposed to have it, anybody 05 or 06 and above should automatically go to a general court martial because you have to have somebody that outranks you to be the presiding person. If you remember back to A Few Good Men, whenever the colonel's at the judge, you have to be the same level mm-hmm. or higher. So the judge there had a higher date and rank. That's the reason why he was able to be the presiding judge over Colonel Jessup. So whenever they went in, they went in on charges of this guy recording anybody and everybody who went in Pac Sun, ran from the police, and initially assigned it to a misdemeanor court.
Imagine, my thought immediately went to, imagine being that girl's mom and dad, and there's no mm-hmm. justice for you. Or the parents of any of the kids who went into that Pac Sun, like, there's no justice for you or your kids. And this person is still serving in the military as a lieutenant colonel. That's insane. Go ahead.
I think one line is important to point out, that Ian Ives, the spokesman for the U.S. Army Cadet Command, who's providing information, he declined to say why he was referred to a special court martial rather than a general court martial. There's more information here. There's a reason why this got brought back even to the military, and there's definitely a reason why it got from a special as opposed to a general. So we're sitting here and wondering how the hell any of this is happening. I don't think we're working with all the information. So
to make an informed decision. If
should have happened.
If he went to retrieve the camera, That was no. intent. Like knowing.
There's this guy should have been prosecuted to the full extent of the law, but he should have been prosecuted by the civilian courts for evading or resisting arrest for child pornography, among a bunch of other things. We're never going to know why it got pushed back to the military and why it got.
And that's another huge failure for military PR during a time when recruiting's already hard enough. Like, these are the kind of people that are leaving the, like, I don't know, just such a bad look. Protect Our Defenders, an advocacy group for military justice reform, has long been troubled by the military's unwillingness to prosecute serious crimes and light sentences handed out by military judges. And I think, again, especially as the higher you go in rank, this loser deployed twice to Iraq, once to Afghanistan, once to Colombia, and his military awards and decorations include the Bronze Star, blah, 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 blah. And to me, that's just like goes to show, too. I feel like a lot of people think because people were in the military or because someone is decorated or because someone is like a real high speed guy that they like are automatically a good guy. And there are some real pieces of shit. You can be a real impressive military person and still be a real piece of shit. This guy's a huge piece of shit. Task and Purpose tried to reach Sweatland for a comment, but no, he was nowhere to be found. Sweatland was suffering from mental illness that was linked directly to his deployments, they say. Hey, a lot of us have goofy stuff from that, and we didn't go spy on kids in a pack, son, you piece of shit.
Right. Yeah, what a terrible thing. Like, I'm not saying, you know, diminish this gentleman's mental illness, but that doesn't give you carte blanche to just go start breaking the law. All of us have a lot of mental illness issues that stem from deployments, and you know, the vast majority of veterans are not running around committing heinous crimes and saying, oh, my mental illness.
You know what's weird?
And I also think that there's a difference from a crime of passion in the moment, making a poor decision because you're struggling with mental health. This is not that.
Right.
This is knowingly and going in and putting this camera up. It's more than that. It's one, thinking of the idea. Two, researching how to do the idea. Three, buying the camera for the idea. Keep going. I forgot what number I'm on. You go to the place to do it. You set it up. You leave. You wait a while. And then you come back to retrieve it. Like, if that's not premeditation of the highest order, what the fuck is? And not only that, inside the military justice system, they have the ability, once it's a federal, once it's a felony, a class A felony, which child pornography would be, they have the ability to administratively discharge you 7 days later. You can have the plea. They can put you out in 7 days.
Yeah. Chaps, I mean, the way you just laid that out, there was about 20 different opportunities for this guy to take a step back and realize, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't be doing this because it's disgusting, it's heinous, it's wrong, it's gross. And, you know, aside from conduct unbecoming an officer, this is just terrible behavior as a human being.
Yeah.
I don't even care that you're in the military. Just, you shouldn't be putting cameras to spy on underage individuals.
I heard a car backfire. It reminded me of an IED the other day. So I went and hid under a pile of clothes in the men's room over at work. I don't know why I did that. It's the war.
And it goes to show that Secretary Austin's new initiative does not work. Like, that is a broken system. This is supposed to be the system that was fixed. You remember we talked about it a couple months? We talked about it, I mean, every couple months, basically. But they have, in this system, it wasn't supposed to be this guy's chain of command that does everything. I mean, I just don't know. How the fuck, when you have somebody red-handed with all those things, does that prosecutor? And that's the bad part about having it as a military court too, because in the civilian world, whenever you announce the punishment, the sentence, you go through why you're giving that sentence, what they did, what the jury found them guilty of, and then the reasons why you're getting this sentence and the mitigating factors of the sentence. So you get all of those things. If it's a civilian court, now these motherfuckers will seal it because it's a military court. Hopefully somebody like that's in the realm of James LaPorta, Jeff Schoebel, they will come out and they will do FOIA requests and all that stuff where we can try to figure out what the hell is going on. But we know what's going on. It's just another example of slapping senior officers on the wrist. Like, it really is.
Yeah. And it's a culture of military judges are in the military culture. And so this is what you get. It's like,
yep,
crazy.
All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. But before we do that, Cons, what do we have? Who do we have a message from?
Listen, when you love someone, as we all do, we all have family members that we love. You know, Traps has a family, Kate has a family, I have a family. You love them.
Both of us for having families.
Yeah, I mean, but when you have a family and you're no longer single, that's when you start thinking about things differently. And you think about the fact that you want to protect them in the best ways that you can. You know how you do that? You get yourself Simply Safe Home Security. All
I thought you were going to say airsoft gun.
No. We'll get into that later. But what is Simply Safe? If you haven't heard about it before, it's an advanced system that protects every inch of your home. And it's backed by 24/7 with professional monitoring for fast emergency response for less than $1 a day. Listen, you can't put a price on the love that you have for your family members, but I'll tell you what, less than a dollar a day, that's pretty freaking cheap, all right? So Simply Safe is trusted by the experts. It was named Best Home Security System of 2024 by U.S. News and World Report. Ever heard of them? Simply Safe offers everything you need for whole home protection. HD cameras for indoors and outdoors. Advanced motion sensors and entry sensors to protect doors, windows, and rooms. And a collection of hazard sensors that detect fire, flooding, and more. It's powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. So whenever your home is threatened, trained agents spring into action for emergency dispatch and response. Again, all for under $1 a day. Simply Safe. Honestly, so easy to set up yourself. You don't need any special tools or know-how required. You don't want to do it yourself? No problem. You can get one of their expert technicians to come out of your house and install it for you. Plus, with the 60-day risk-free trial, you can, and if you don't love your system, you can return it for a full refund. Simply Safe even covers the return shipping. So, order now to get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with fast protect monitoring. Don't wait. Visit simplysafe.com/ZBT. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
All right, let's move into some save rounds and alibis, Cons. We will start with you.
Yeah, just for context, I was in a simulator this weekend, Chaps. I hit my 4-iron 240. I don't hit my 4-iron 240 yards, all right? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Good for you, Con. Sorry, you're weak.
Okay. Another unfortunate passing that we had was that of retired firefighter Bob Beckwith. And that name might not ring a bell, but I guarantee his picture would ring a bell. Retired firefighter Bob Beckwith was the gentleman who stood next to President Bush at Ground Zero following the attacks of 9/11, the one that President Bush put his arm around when he gave his famous speech upon the rubble there at Ground Zero. Interesting how he got up there. I didn't actually realize this. So he was retired for 7 years at that point. He just went down to start to help with the recovery effort. And he is standing on top of a rubble on top of a fire truck that was badly destroyed. And Karl Rove, President Bush, is one of his guys, his advisors, comes over and says, "Hey, can you test that? Is it sturdy and stable? Can the president stand on that? Can you kind of jump up and down, make sure that's okay for President Bush to stand up there? And then, you know, just please come down so he can get up there." And he said, "Sure, no problem." So he's testing it out, and then he's getting ready to get down as President Bush is coming up. And President Bush said, "Where are you going?" He says, "Oh, I was told to get down." He said, no, you stand here with me." And then he, you know, gave the famous speech with that bullhorn where he said, "I can hear you," and everybody knows the rest. So appreciate his service to the city of New York, and I hope he rests in peace.
Is that it?
And that's it.
Catherine?
You can hear my baby just started crying. Nothing crazy for me. Just, I'm sure you guys covered it on the last episode, but thinking of the families of the three soldiers that were killed in an aerial drone attack on the outpost in Jordan last weekend. Their dignified transfer was on Friday. President Biden and the First Lady were there, and it just, like, man, again, speaking of things that, like, take you back, just seeing that again and seeing those flag draped coffins, it's just like, oh my God. So just thinking of troops all over right now in these times. And
Kate, you're right though. Like, I think we got really, like, obviously following 9/11 in the first years of us being in Afghanistan and Iraq, when there were a lot of casualties. And then I think you get desensitized to it. And then I think, you know, we had the end and removal of all of our soldiers in Afghanistan. And I think collectively as a country, we kind of took a breath and we said, all right, well, now no more soldiers and sailors and Marines are going to die, at least for a while. And then you forget that they're still doing very dangerous missions yeah. each and every day. So it was kind of weird to see that we had lost. And we've have lost a handful of service members recently. And excuse me, weird is not the right word. It's just sad because, again, I think we kind of put that part of our military away for a little bit. So then to be reminded that it's still a very dangerous job yeah. and those soldiers made the ultimate sacrifice, it still bears mentioning and we are grateful for their sacrifice. And it's just, like I said, it's a dangerous job and we can't forget that. Yeah.
No doubt about it. This weekend, anything else?
No, Kate? That's it.
This weekend, I was fortunate and I had a great time to go into this gala that was called the Equality Illinois. So if you followed me for a while or you've been listening to the show for a while, you guys know that I didn't just leave Chicago for the purpose of coming to the office. I also
leave Texas.
Yeah.
I left Texas for the purpose of coming up to protect my family from some of the LGBTQ laws that were being passed in Texas. And for those that don't know, 151 bills against LGBTQ people in Texas were introduced, and nearly a third of those passed in Texas. So being with a group of people who those types of legislation are targeting, it was so freeing to watch everybody be in a room and be happy to know that there's a state like Illinois that's trying to help people that are in Texas, raising money for people in Texas. I was fortunate enough to leave. There's a lot of families that aren't, and it broke my heart hearing some of the stories of people that were still there. And the CEO, the executive director of Equality Texas, mentioned a story, and he mentioned a story of a trans kid that had to leave. And it was my kid. I'm a strong dude. I've done some rough shit in rough areas. I could not protect my family. So I would ask you, when you vote this year, vote knowing that some things will happen to the community that my family is with the wrong people in charge. Please remember that, because this is, in a lot of ways, in a lot of states, life and death for a lot of adolescents and teenagers and adults. I didn't really want to talk about this today, but I felt like after seeing what I saw, that it's not something that I could tacitly sit by and not be vocal about. Like, this show is about the military. It's about freedom. It's about patriotism. And some of those things and those meanings has gone astray in the recent years of what those principles are supposed to look like. In my estimation, freedom should look like liberty. And Good Will Hunting is one of my favorite movies. And Will, in there, he says that liberty is the soul's right to breathe. I wish everybody in America could take a deep breath.